Steph, how's it going?
It's going pretty well. What's up?
Not a lot. Thanks for coming on Radcast, first and foremost.
Absolutely.
I'm sitting here with Ashley, my co-host.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hey, Ashley, how's it going?
I'm good. We're excited to have you on.
I'm glad to be here. This is a huge deal. I mean, I can't say enough about it. I've been just, you know, in my research and doing a little bit more reading. It could really, really go very bad very quickly.
Yeah,
that's kind of what we were looking at. And, you know, we were talking about how you could obviously lend, like, a much more informed opinion and perspective to this whole thing. But just the quick things that we've read were like, this could be the death of the internet as we know it.
Kind of. The free internet, anyway. I mean, you know, it just doesn't, I don't see a way where internet service providers are not going to try to capitalize off of this to make more money.
Right.
Well, yeah, and reading the article that we put up on Radcast, that's kind of the feeling that I walked away with. It's like, well, obviously we the people are not going to win because there's money, a lot of money to be made by these people that provide it to us.
Exactly.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we'll see what happens. I mean, there are some things we might be able to do, but, you know, I'll let you guys take it away, and we'll get into that later, I guess.
Yeah absolutely. So I guess for everybody that's not familiar with it or maybe heard about it and heard the term thrown around and they don't know exactly, if you could just give us a quick background of, like, net neutrality from your understanding is, like, you know, what it was and why it was struck down in the first place.
Right. Well, net neutrality was the rule that internet service providers like Verizon and Comcast must give users equal access to all the websites on the internet. And it was basically put in place because back in 2008, Comcast was accused and found guilty of restricting bandwidth to people that were using BitTorrent. So anybody that was downloading movies, they were experiencing slower speeds, and their system was getting all bogged down. They couldn't understand why. And Comcast, I just felt like, you know, this sort of particular content we don't agree with because, you know, they have a whole library of movies and different things that they would want you to use their service for. So they were restricting access for people using that particular website. And once that came out, the FCC put into place this ruling that you're not allowed to do that, basically. No internet service provider is allowed to restrict or block any website from any user on their service. And it was struck down recently, actually last week on the 14th, because Verizon had challenged it, I think back in 2009 maybe is when the whole thing started, and it's finally just being resolved now in 2014. And the court said yes, and unfortunately the bad part about this is that it was struck down on a technicality. The court didn't think that net neutrality was bad. They actually thought that that was good to be in place for these companies to have some sort of regulation, but the way that the FCC went about enforcing the rule wasn't right. So that's why the whole rule, so they basically threw the baby out with the bathwater,
right,
and struck the whole thing down because the FCC didn't go about it in the right way.
Sorry, Josh was about to talk at the same time. Now, with the technicality, the one article that I read, the court was kind of putting the internet and Verizon's argument in the bucket of, I can't remember the term now, it starts with a C, but it was more based with telecommunications.
Right, right.
Okay. So, and the internet, they said, no, it's its own separate entity.
Exactly. So there's two different parts of the Telecommunications Act. The Title I, I'm not sure what Title I applies to, but where ISPs need to be is in the bucket of Title II, basically. They're in Title I now, and they were trying to kind of maneuver the rules there. The phone companies are in this Title II bucket, and they already have all these rules and controls in place around not being able to deny service. They want to put the ISPs in that same bucket, so they would need to reclassify them as common service providers or some term that they need to reclassify them as, and they didn't do that. So the court's like, with the way they are classified right now, you can't, you know, force them to do anything, basically. You can't regulate them in any way. So that's actually one of the things that the FCC has as an option to try to reverse this whole thing, is to reclassify ISPs as common service providers.
Right. So I was going to say, like, on that basis, does it kind of, I mean, that almost sounds like, you know, like a very optimistic outlook, like they're, you know, there's a good chance that this
it would if those ISPs weren't huge and the lobbies didn't have millions and millions of dollars to try to, you know, keep that from happening. And that's the thing. I think the folks at the FCC, you know, aren't really chomping at the bit for that fight, because that would be an even bigger fight than this one was, to, you know, with them trying to reclassify these ISPs as something else to put them in that second Title II bucket. That would be a huge battle, and it's not clear whether or not the FCC is actually up for that challenge right now.
Oh my God. Okay. So On that basis, is there anything that, you know, the general populace could do to kind of maybe help back the FCC in that sort of long drawn out fight? Like almost like, you know, create like, you know, political action committees of our own to kind of go
which
up.
Which I want to say, if there is, jump on it, because how many times does the general public agree with the FCC? Like, they're actually, you know,
right?
Trying
to help you're trying
us
to fight
out.
On the same side as, like, you know, a government regulator.
Absolutely, and that's what it's going to have to be. I mean, we're just basically going to have to fight the power. There's an organization called the Electronic Frontier Foundation that is encouraging people to tweet their internet service provider with the hashtag net neutrality, and that kind of worked before. 2 years ago, there was a whole SOPA Act, Stop Online Piracy Act, that the government was trying to enforce that got defeated by the people, basically. I mean, there were a lot of organizations that were just shutting their websites down completely. You know, Anonymous stepped in and started hacking the heck out of everything. And it's like the people kind of took control in that instance and defeated SOPA. So it can happen. I mean, I think more people need to know about this issue. I was just on Facebook because I just tweeted an infographic that someone from Reddit made up that showed what your internet service could look like once, you know, these ISPs kind of get a hold of it and can do whatever they want. And I just had like this, you know, 20-minute conversation back and forth with folks on Facebook that really didn't know anything about the whole net neutrality battle, what it was, why it's bad that it's gone, the whole thing. So it's all about awareness raising, really.
Right, yeah, because I was going to say, like, I remember when SOPA happened, like you said, there was this huge backlash from, you know, everybody on, like, Facebook to, like, just, you know, companies like Google and all that, like, taking their websites down. But I remember one of the things that kind of seemed like, you know, I can't believe it's already been 2 years, but one of the things that, you know, I had read in an article, there was a comment the author made saying, you know, but these guys have been trying to do this for years, and if this gets struck down, they just keep on trying. And this now, this is another case now where they finally tried and they've achieved that goal. But like you said, I mean, there's like literally no awareness. Like a lot of people I'll talk to and say, hey, you know, if you heard about this net neutrality thing, they're like, yeah, I don't really.
I have no idea. Or you may have heard about it in passing. You don't really know what it, you know, what it entails. You don't really care that much. But you will once things start happening. I mean, again, once these companies get with it and the things that they're going to be able to do to manipulate your internet service, they're not going to be good. And then you'll start to hear that outcry.
Right, exactly. And that was going to be my next question was, have we seen any kind of these effects yet, like already taking place, like a shift in the internet at all? Or
I don't think so. I mean, it just happened on the 14th, so I don't think so. But I know every time my internet is a little bit slower, I wonder.
Right.
You know, I'm like, wait a minute. It didn't take this page that long to load last night, so what's going on? So it's just, you know, literally today I've been so paranoid. Anytime, you know, I see that little, hourglass on there, like, wait a minute. You know, Verizon, is this Fios, like, monitoring me and then throttling me back or anything like that? But what could happen is I think ISPs will try to make your internet look a lot more like your cable. So that means that you'll have a base price. Maybe you'll pay $30, $29.99 a month for your internet. But if you want the entertainment package that has Netflix and Hulu and YouTube, you pay an extra $5. And if you want the marketplace package, which has Amazon and eBay, and, you know, because they can actually restrict access to these sites now. That's what not having net neutrality means, is that your ISP can restrict access to certain sites that they don't like. If your CEO, you know, isn't into porn, you may not have access to porn. Like, you know what I mean? Or he may start.
Oh, my God. Now this is serious.
Which, before any of this, if you do have access to porn at work, you probably should.
Exactly. Yeah, that's. I think that would be a great way, like a marketing campaign, to really get people up in arms about this whole thing. It's
absolutely.
Like, you know,
Josh, why do you want to come and work with us?
It's the end of free porn as we know it. Come on, man. It's like somebody has to do something.
I don't want to live in a world where pornography is not free. So obviously, you know, you said there's these tiers that you have to pay for. And what, the one thing that kind of struck me there was that, you know, the marketplace, you're saying, you know, approved sites such as like, you know, eBay or Amazon or Netflix or Hulu. Now, what about the you know, smaller dogs in the yard, such as like people like you or I, who, you know, have gone on to kind of create our own little brands and like have our own little websites? I mean, I can't think that anybody would want to pay to access my website. Yours maybe
not. It could really hurt small businesses quite a bit, because if you start this process where, you know, if you pay a certain amount, you get this much bandwidth, and if you pay a certain amount, you get this much bandwidth, you know, you're going to see a lot of those smaller businesses getting relegated to the slow lane of internet traffic, basically. And we all know what that means. I mean, if a page takes longer than about 10 seconds to load for me, I'm clicking away. You know what I mean? I'm going to somewhere else. So you're going to lose that traffic. You're going to lose potential business. This could hurt schools and educational institutions as well, because they may not have the funds to, you know, think about a middle school in an urban area with already limited funds, and now you're telling the school they may need to pay extra because you have a certain amount of students online every day using up this much data, so you have to pay more because you're using more data. That could hurt them, and now all of a sudden you only have an hour's worth of access to the internet a day instead of 5 hours that you had for different classes. So it could hurt that. It's gonna put a chasm in the digital divide between the people that already have access and don't, because there is a definite, you know, disparity amongst, you know, rural areas, urban areas where people just don't even have internet access now. This could preclude them from even getting it because it might be more expensive. You know, there's certain places they don't have access to. So now you're talking about research and maybe job sites, maybe Monster and different job sites now go into an upper tier package. So now you're kind of keeping folks away from opportunity. I mean, the ramifications are endless. They really, really go very, very deep. So hopefully the people will rise up and this maybe won't happen. And I'm hoping that the FCC kind of grows a pair, basically, and decides to move forward with the reclassification process.
Yeah, that's kind of what I took away from the articles that I was reading, is that there definitely was a separation of the haves and the have-nots. And,
absolutely.
You know, this is just another example of, oh, you know, another perk for the people that have a lot of money, but myself, like a broke college student, I may only be able to afford the, you know, the slower, I guess I've read one article that put it, you know, these internet service providers will have the opportunity to do, you know, like a platinum, a silver, a bronze
absolutely.
Kind of level. And, you know, myself as a broke college student who does need to get their homework done and, you know, trying to better myself and, you know, make a little more money and change the world a little bit, I now may have to spend, you know, 4 more hours on homework just because I can't get a website to come up. Or
exactly.
That single
and
mom that does want to go into Monster or Indeed or something like that and, you know, is unemployed. Like, you know, it's taking more and more, you know, privileges and opportunities. And I don't even want to say privilege. I mean, the internet isn't even a privilege at this point. It's a right almost.
No, the United Nations has declared internet access a human right, a basic human right. So, but it didn't say, you know, what level of service, you know, constituted
the speed
human
that
right.
Internet and has to get to
exactly.
You necessarily.
But you can, but think about it. You said, you know, you're a broke college student. Think about what, you know, if the ISPs create an education tier where any website with a .edu costs more money to access. You know what I mean? That's an extra $10 on top of, you know, whatever you're already paying to access the education tier. They can do anything they want at this point. And it's really, really scary to think about what might happen for people that don't have the resources.
And I was going to say, I mean, the ramifications of this whole thing are staggering. And I mean, I was frightened before you brought up the free porn. And now after you brought that up, I mean, I don't know what I'm going to do. I just want to,
so I
know,
no
right.
Porn and I can't educate myself.
Right. Exactly.
What's the point?
You know, I think though, I was thinking if we do lead in, like if we try to like kind of raise awareness, and I think we should lead with free porn and then follow up with education. I think that
yes.
would be a great tool.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
people
absolutely.
Are going to pay way more attention to porn than education.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. It's not even just about, you know, charging more for some sites. I mean, they could block sites altogether. I mean, you think about Comcast owns NBC.
Right.
So if they want to block Fox News and CNN and everything else, you don't get it.
I mean, I wouldn't complain if they blocked Fox News. I don't know if I'd necessarily be.
We give them Fox News.
You're right.
We keep porn in education.
That's one
because education and Fox News don't really go hand in hand anyway.
Fox News, everybody else we need. Yeah. But they would be well within their rights to do that at this point without those net neutrality rules in place.
Right. So the other question I had, well, actually, it was submitted by the legendary Kyle Ferrari. He brought up a great point that I didn't even think of. He said that, you know, I mean, because we were talking about how this would be like almost the disbandment of the World Wide Web. I mean, China's got their own kind of version of the internet. It sounds like, I mean, this would definitely kind of develop into like a more personalized U.S. version of the internet between like these different companies. So WWW, the World Wide Web, I mean, would that be a thing of the past? Is that kind of what we're looking at? I mean, it may not necessarily be, I mean, I don't know that that's like the most major thing that we need to focus on.
But potentially, you know, be USW, United States Web, instead of, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's very possible. I mean, it really, you know, because these people are controlling, you know, the actual pipes that transmit this data. So they have like the ultimate control over what we get to see and don't see. So they could shut down our web altogether to foreign traffic, to outside sites. It could be a USW or whatever. And you just don't know. You just don't know. And that's the problem is, you know, and we've seen this before. What happens when, you know, cause there, someone responded, I tweeted that infographic and someone responded and said, oh, it was just a, you know, conspiracy by Google to, you know, some nut. And it's just like, it's actually not, you know, we've seen what happens in this country when companies are allowed to go unregulated. Mm-hmm. You know, we're still trying to get out of that mess right now with banks and mortgage companies and things like that, when you just let them run free and hope that the market's going to correct itself. It doesn't happen. You know what I mean? It doesn't happen. And this is going to be another example of, you know, letting the market run completely wild and having some very damaging effects because of it.
Yeah, absolutely. So now you've obviously been like following this closely and kind of, you know, tweeting about it and taking to your social media sites. Are you planning to kind of stay up to date on this and kind of post more things about it in the future to kind of help raise awareness or?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm actually working on a piece right now for ebony.com. So that should go up sometime this week. And I will definitely continue to follow and tweet and, you know, put it out there on, blast it out on social media, whatever updates and developments as they come. You know, I hope to be able to tweet at some point that the whole thing has been overturned and net neutrality is back in place. But, you know, that just remains to be seen.
Right. God. So, I mean, I guess my next question then is how can everybody find your social media sites and find you on the internet to follow you while you're still available before they, you know, they
exactly shut me down,
put the black bag over you. Right. Exactly. You just disappear.
Well, people can follow me at Tech Life Steph, and, or you can, my Facebook page is just Stephanie Humphrey. If you search Facebook for Stephanie Humphrey, you find that. Just keep, stay with me and I'll definitely be sending out anything that I get or anything that comes across my desk. I'll be tweeting it out and just trying to keep people informed, because that's what it's going to take. I don't think this whole thing is quote unquote viral yet. You know, I think amongst the people that understand the ramifications of it, there's definitely rumblings, but I don't think, you know, the general public really understands what's going on. So I don't think it's become viral yet, and it needs to. It really, really needs to. So, you know, if everybody could just, you know, if you see anything, just retweet it, just, you know, put it out there and get it out to your friends. Like, we have to do something. People have to take action.
Spread the word. Well, and part of us spreading this word, Radcast on our Facebook page, we had put up an article about net neutrality and encouraged our listeners to, you know, take a look at it, read it. If they had any questions, to definitely let us know, to be able to ask you. And one of our listeners, Isaac Brown, wondered how other countries handle something like this. He actually said specifically like South Korea or Japan, you know, how do they handle it? And then I guess in comparison to what it looks like, our providers want to handle it.
That's a very interesting question. I don't have an answer for it right now, I have to be honest, because I hadn't really thought about other countries dealing with this same type of thing. But my first thought, though, is that most other countries typically only have one internet service provider for the country,
right.
One or two, you know, and you don't have this whole competitive thing where, you know, it's just, this is what you have and this is what you get basically.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
It, you don't really, you know, I think a lot of those same issues may or may not necessarily be it, but you have countries like China that block tons of websites and restrict access.
Quite good at that,
a
right?
A lot of different things, exactly. So, yeah, I think you have to evaluate it on a country by country basis. But even in like a South Korea, I believe they only have one main kind of national internet service provider. And then their attitude about it is different. I mean, South Korea has the fastest, if I'm not mistaken, the fastest internet in the world, and they, you know, care about providing that kind of access to their constituency, and I just think this country cares about something different, you know what
right.
I mean? They care about the money more than, you know, having that access. So yeah, no, I that's a great question. I'm gonna have to look into that and do a little bit more research into a comparison, and if I, you know, when I find something, I'll definitely put that out there.
Awesome.
Excellent. All right, Steph, well, I'm gonna obviously let you go so you can take to the front lines here, and then you know, I'm gonna
that's
sit
right.
here and go get busy.
get back on the battlefield.
Exactly.
Make
right
your picket signs.
Yeah, exactly. But thanks so much for joining us today. And again, they can find you where?
On Twitter at TechLifeSteph. That's the best place to get me.
Beautiful. Beautiful. All right. Well, we'll certainly try to do our due diligence. You know, I'm going to try not to cry too hard. I'm going to try to, you know, take the action here. But
you better go download some porn while you're
exactly right. I, the show's over after this. I got to cut it short now. I got work to do. So awesome. All right. Well, thanks so much for calling or
for
coming on.
Me,
All right. Take care.
See ya.